This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey, TK.
Hey, Cheryl. Hey.
Woo! We got a doozy.
We do. We've got a doozy.
We do have a doozy.
We do have a doozy. But
what?
We do have new merch, Cheryl.
This is so, it's so cute, I can't even.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to. But you will.
I sure will. We've got t-shirts, sweatshirts. Mm-hmm. We've got shirts that say, hey, girl, hey.
Yeah.
That say, are you a snork bull? And then on the back, they say, you bet your sweet ass I am. Oh, my God.
Dreams come true. Dreams come true.
I can't wait to wear this. There's also water bottles. There's no way to know.
I know that our snork bulls take long hikes and live off the land. So get your water bottles.
Get your water bottle. There's no way to know. Yes. So go to podswag.com/truestory to get your new merch. Ladies and jerks, welcome to MH370, The Plane That Disappeared.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Hey, Tig.
Hey, Cheryl. Hey.
I feel like I have a lot of things to report to you.
Please.
A lot's been happening. Okay.
Yeah.
First and foremost, I just ran into Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay.
And I was like, Jerry, I've probably told you this story at least three times. And he's like, I bet you haven't. And then I launched into the story about me interviewing him when I was in college. And he was laughing and he said, I've never heard that. And he said, that's really funny. Let the record show.
That's funny?
That's the whole story. That's the whole story.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure what we were letting the record show, that you told him the story or that it is a funny story.
Both.
Both. Okay.
That Jerry thought it was hilarious. That might be exaggerating. That I interviewed him.
I bet
in college.
It's an exaggeration.
I mean, was he doubled over laughing?
Yeah, I was going to say, I've met Jerry and it probably takes a lot to double him over laughing. Or I'm just not funny to him. What else is going on?
Oh, I had something else to tell you and I can't remember what now.
Is it Curb?
Curb, you know, we're shooting Curb. This is we're winding down our season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard and it's sad.
You were saying you did the original Curb special in 99, right?
Yeah. So that's what's really crazy because it was a 1-hour special in 1999 and it wasn't meant to be a series. Mm-hmm. So how many years later? 24 years later?
We've been doing
this show together.
That's
it
insane.
It is so crazy.
Is
Super
this the longest
crazy.
Running? Have we already discussed this? Probably, but
I
is
don't
it
know.
The longest?
There's no way to know. Well, yeah. It's got to be the longest running comedy series. But what about like SUV, or what is that called? Criminal? What is that called?
SUV. Dun dun. That's what it's called.
SUV. Oh, SUV.
Up next on Sports Utility Vehicle. Yeah, there's probably an SUV show or a medical show that's run forever.
SBU. SBU.
SUV.
Oh, Grey's Anatomy. Yeah. Thomas, do you know? What show is, no way to what's know. The longest?
Who cares?
It doesn't matter. The point is.
It's sad.
We've been on for a while, and and every season, you just kind of never know, because it's like, since season one, Larry said, this is our only season. So after every season we shoot, it's just like, I'll see you guys later.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just starting to, you know, feel it, and it's sweet. You know, these guys are my my family.
Yeah.
Anyway, and we have some snark bulls on the crew that listen, which really somehow that really makes me laugh.
And do you feel like they're diehard snark bulls?
Yeah, and like worlds colliding, like, whoa, whoa, that's weird.
And what else is there something else going on when you're like, there's a lot going on? Is it just that you ran into Jerry Seinfeld? And not just, but...
The other thing I wanted to tell you, and it is Curb related, because we were trying to get you on Curb.
Yeah.
When I talked to Larry, and I was like, you know, Tig wants to come on the show, and, you know, she'll just walk by, or she'll, like, be a wait person and just drop off food. Or, and he said, why wouldn't she have a role on the show? I said, yeah. Why not?
Why and he's not? Like,
well, everything's been cast already. He goes, well, why? But she should be on this show. And I'm like, so it was just a weird conversation of, And he goes, she should be like a extra. She should be, you know.
I've been telling you that all season. And you were like, I forgot to bring it up. Oh, I forgot. Know. And I anyway. And now,
now
maybe this will be reason for another season of Curb.
Cool. I'm going to talk to Larry.
Yeah, I feel like Larry will surprise everyone and be like, all right, we're doing another scene. All right, we're doing another scene in like 5 years, you know?
That could definitely happen. It's happened before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the season that we did the Seinfeld reunion, that was like, I thought, and I think the whole world, because they're all paying attention to Curb Your Enthusiasm, thought, okay, this is it. This is the big... And, you know, and then like, okay, let's shoot another season. And then one season, Larry dies for a minute. And, you know, that could have, but he came, you know, he was revived. But by the way,
he had to have been.
Unless all of this is now flashback and we're all like in our 80s and we're doing flashbacks of when we were 20. Yeah, but when we were shooting that, because the show is improvised, you know, we were shooting that scene where Larry... We thought for a moment Larry died, and I started getting teary because it was sad. And Larry opens his eyes. He's like, what are you doing? I said, it's sad. He goes, no, don't cry. That's not funny. I was like, if you were my husband and you just died, it's just sad. He's like, don't do that. He goes, you and Jeff fight over the Prius. Who's going to get the Prius? I was like, oh, my God.
Is it hard for you to cry on camera? Or are you pretty pro?
I don't really think about it because, you know, if I'm feeling it in the moment. I mean, I don't cry that easily, but...
You cry on this show all the time. I always thought of you as somebody that you were kind of a hard cry. And then we're doing this ridiculous podcast. And then you cry... all the time on here,
fanning the tears away with unpaid bills on my desk.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I don't think I've cried on this show.
Yeah, that's true. I'm always like, nah, I don't cry, like the rusty sailor, and you're like the vulnerable lady in the nightgown.
I'm a very vulnerable lady. And Stephanie, she's a hard cry. And people always assume, you know, I got the short haircut that I'm, you know, tough guy.
You're no tough guy.
No, I'm no tough guy. You can beat me up with leg flips and
Lead flips?
With leg flips.
Oh, leg flips. That makes more
sense.
And
speaking of,
yes.
Remember, I have broken ribs. This is something people.
Okay, so here's. I just saw Tig the other night. Went in for a hug, and she's like, "Don't hug me. I have broken ribs."
I had a few friends over for some pizza and birthday cake. Wow, my birthday's really coming up on the 24th. Oh. So when people hear this, well, I have just turned 52, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Congratulations.
But yeah, I had some friends over for some pizza and some birthday cake.
Do you want to say what happened with your ribs, or is better not to talk about?
Sure. Yeah, I can say.
If you need a fafa, somebody out.
No, it's okay. Somebody gave me permission.
Yeah, she's tough. Talk about tough ladies.
Yeah. She's mortified, though. She's beyond mortified. I had a show in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And a gaggle of pals decided, let's rent a party bus and go to Tig's show in Long Beach.
That sounds like fun.
It was
Nothing bad could happen there.
Right. Right. Except for the fact that we all met at someone's house in the hills. And the party bus was gigantic. And the entire time we were laughing and going down the hills in Hollywood, we also kind of suspected we might roll off the cliff. So it was a little stressful. But anyway, once we were on the freeway going to Long Beach, music playing, there's stripper poles, everybody's doing flips and sexy dances. Except
as
I'm sitting there. Yeah, having my sparkling water on a bench while everyone else is going nuts, as I do. And Allison Janney, who is 6 feet tall, okay, she is a tall drink of water, comes up behind me, grabs me around the waist, and picks me up almost like the Heimlich maneuver. She picks me up and carries me down the aisle of the party bus. And there's actual footage of this moment on somebody, one of the pals on the party bus posted this video. You can see the utter pain I'm in as she's carrying me.
But she's behind you, so she doesn't realize.
She doesn't realize.
Yeah, she has no idea. She thinks you're having a ball.
Yeah. And I was expecting to have a ball when she picked me up. But my feet are truly dangling in the air. Oh, she's so tall. And she's carrying me. And I have to say, Allison Janney is a good time. She is hilarious.
Oh, wow. She's so fun.
She's so fun. She's so fun. And so she puts me down. And in the video, I'm like, oh, God, my ribs. Well, I do my show.
Uh-oh.
The next day, I go to urgent care.
And when you walked into urgent care, were they like, no, it's Tig again?
Yeah. Look who's here. Welcome home. Yeah. So I had just worked through my broken leg. I was very excited to get back out into the world.
Tig.
And now I got my ribs broke.
Oh.
But I'm a little over a week into it. I'm doing a lot better. It was a rough first week.
Because what can you even do for broken ribs?
You can't really do anything. I'm supposed to just rest, which I haven't been doing. And then they gave me some like massive pain pills, which I took one, but I just don't like it. That.
You don't like it. That's not your
vibe. And so I've just been taking a Tylenol maybe once a day, usually before bed, just because Stephanie in the night hears me go, oh, God, because I'll roll over and I'll be asleep and forget that I got broken ribs. Yeah. And so I'll roll over and be like, oh, God. Oh. And she's like, what happened? I'm like, I rolled over.
Oh, my God. This is the funniest story. Allison Janney. I mean, I can't even. I would love to see that footage, by the way, as would all the snorkels listening.
Well, if you go, I think, to my friend Bradley's Instagram, you'll see it.
Okay.
But whatever. And again, just to be clear, Allison was absolutely
of course
meaning to have a blast.
Yes.
She is mortified.
Of course. flowers.
She sent me the biggest bouquet of flowers. Aww. And she has been checking in on me. Aww. And I just, she's truly Allison. Mortified.
Of
and
course,
I was like, please understand. Yes, I'm in pain. I will be fine. But this gives me a great story.
That's
and
a good story.
It's very on brand for my body.
You have to let me tell it.
Yes.
Oh, God, that makes me laugh. Okay, Tig, I think we've hit a new low. We haven't even said the name of the documentary yet.
We have a lot going on. Also,
yes, yes.
The documentary basically in the title says,
Do not spill bean. Okay. Here's what I woke up this morning.
It's days away from my birthday and I have broken ribs.
I said, if Tig starts out spilling beans about this, I am going to hit the...
You're going to come leg rustle me?
Friggin' roof.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to break two more of your ribs.
Oh, real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yeah.
About, you know, my having friends over and some drinks and stuff the other night.
Yeah.
We need to post a picture of us from...
We do.
You grabbed me from the
party,
the hoedown,
if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was great.
And we took some pictures.
Yes. The people who were making drinks, their van was outside, and we took a picture with it. And I think
the
our listeners
will really appreciate
they're really going to appreciate it.
Also, anyone else at the gathering would probably was confused why we were posing by this truck.
Why there's a party going on with really fun people and we're out on the curb next to a van. Because listen, this is switching gears for a second. This documentary, I like that we're switching gears even though our whole podcast is about documentaries. but this documentary is not, I mean, it's sad.
Yeah, of course it's
and,
sad.
And when there's a sad one, you know, we really spend a lot of time talking about other things. And
we
that's
try
just,
to avoid it.
We try to avoid it. And I
oh,
think,
we have to take a break, though,
Cheryl, I haven't even said the name
I don't know
of
what
the
to tell
documentary.
You.
I can't even. This. Hey, have we ever reached this point without even saying?
I think
oh
this
my
is
God,
a first.
This is a.
We might be transitioning out of documentaries at this point, but we will be
this
back.
This is the worst. Oh my God. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to tell you what the documentary is.
Okay. Well, we have to wrap up in a half hour.
Oh
so.
My God. Oh
we'll
God.
Be right back on Tig and Cheryl True Story and talk about whatever this documentary is called because it'll be such a surprise because, of course, you don't see the name of it when you click to listen to each episode. But we'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Back on Tig and Cheryl True Story. And Cheryl, before the break, I was being sarcastic.
Oh,
of course it's listed. When people click on the show, it's listed.
Oh, I see. Oh,
Yibbly.
I thought, maybe that's our thing is we don't
Cheryl, we got to get into the documentary. Don't go into what you thought.
God.
What is this thing called so I can spill some beans?
Okay, so let's just begin by telling everybody. This is a serious documentary. There's nothing funny about it. This is
no,
and we have so much respect for all of the people that are involved in this. So that's why we've been procrastinating. This is called MH370, the plane that disappeared. It's a 2023 docuseries directed by Louise Milkinson. The series investigates the tragedy of flight MH370. 370 through the various theories people have fabricated to explain its disappearance. Image 370, the plane that disappeared, is available to watch on Netflix.
And I'm not spilling beans when this says it disappeared. My point is, it's okay that we spent half the episode talking about
other stuff,
Jerry Seinfeld and my broken ribs.
Yeah, because it is really...
It should be more Alice and Janney and my broken ribs, but it's also junk, yeah. Jerry Seinfeld. But
yeah. Anyway, go ahead. A lot. A great story about Jerry Seinfeld.
It was awesome. And it's right up top. People get it right out of the gate.
It would have been better if something interesting happened when I told him that, right? If something other than a...
Well, you're known as one of the greatest storytellers of all time. Solely from this show.
But by the way, I do feel like I had told him that story before. But He says I didn't.
When you're Jerry Seinfeld, you have 10 billion people coming up to you and being like,
stupid,
I waited on you at this restaurant.
Yeah.
I helped you pick out an outfit.
Yeah.
I used to be your neighbor. And
I got it the first time. Yeah, he's heard a lot. Okay, listen, here's what happened, okay? On March 8th, 2014, Malaysian Airlines plane MH370 disappears from radar with 239 people on board. And people speculate whether it was hijacking, a meteorite, or a pilot suicide. The plane takes off at 12:41 a.m. It's a clear night. As the plane approaches the limits of the Malaysian airspace, right, it's going over the ocean, and it's supposed to be shifting over into the Vietnamese airspace. So the Malaysian airspace signs off with the pilot, and they have a recording of them saying goodnight, and that is the last that anybody heard. And then after that, they dropped off the radar. And now, you know, at 6:30 in the morning in Beijing, the flight has not landed. They haven't had any communication with it. And people are very concerned about their loved ones that were on that plane.
That footage of all those people in the room wailing.
It's just so sad.
I couldn't even.
No, deal. It was so sad. Yeah, you have.
God.
At some point, they showed up at the airport to pick up their loved ones, and then they were sent to a hotel to wait for news to see what happened. And it is so sad. It's so sad because nobody had any answers to give them, and people are overcome with grief and
anger. It really struck me because I feel like you rarely get to see actual footage of moments like that, and it's usually a reenactment, or you're watching a movie where people are playing these parts, and you can feel that it's sad. But in that moment, I was so... Like, I wanted to get, even though we've already established I'm not the strongest person, but I wanted to get in the mix and just help those people. I was like, oh my God. It was so guttural. And
It was
primal.
Yeah.
Just
visceral.
So painful.
And people were, you definitely could feel it. You could feel the pain from all of those people.
It's devastating.
So that's basically how the documentary starts. I mean, these people start coming. I couldn't gather if they stayed at that hotel or they came back every day to just wait for the Malaysian airline to give them
updates.
And, you know, at the beginning, some of the family members were calling their person that was on the plane, and the phone was ringing.
Yeah, I remember when I had kind of forgotten a lot about this, and when I was watching this, I was like, oh, right. I remember hearing that on the news, that the cell service was still
Right, that
seeming to work. It was ringing. It wasn't going to voicemail, right, which it typically does when a phone is dead.
And so the people that were you know, waiting for updates, they were telling whoever's in charge, the authorities, it's ringing. Like, yeah, you have to look do something. That. And yeah, then they were told that they didn't have the technology to do anything about that. So, I mean, the whole film is painful because answers are hard to come by.
Yeah.
And then this was odd to me. They're looking for the plane. They're looking for a signal. They're looking for debris. There's no sign of anything. Why? There's a journalist named Jeff Wise.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You remember Jeff?
Yeah.
Who does all this speculating.
Yeah.
I just don't even understand how we got to Jeff Wise, because he, like, all of a sudden, this guy.
Like, it's whatever ideas he had were just, like, walking through. I guess here's the thing, is it's like nobody knows what happened. And so if you're going to make a documentary, I guess you're going to have to
talk to people who think that they
speculate. But what made me really nervous, yeah, is I don't enjoy flying.
Oh.
I have to do it near weekly. And I was truly listening to all these different conspiracy theories.
Mm.
And I was like, let's not give anyone ideas.
I know.
Because I was truly what are we doing? And they're like, here's what you can do. If nobody's looking, you can do this. You can open this box, and then you can jump in here, and you can turn this switch. And I'm like, shut it.
That's
cork it.
I felt the same way. I was like, I didn't know there was a trap door under.
Well, let's not even go into it. Let's not give any crazy snark bulls any ideas.
Oh, our snark bulls would.
Would never.
No, they are precious good people.
Precious. But so while this was happening, while they were trying to figure out what was going on, you had this group, a lot of people online were getting together trying to figure out what happened, like the online sleuths,
mm-hmm,
which once again baffles me.
What baffles you?
How does somebody have time to do this? Do people, is that their, they don't get paid for it, right? I just wonder.
Well, that's what I was asking.
How do people pay their rent? That's my question. Like, how do the online sleuths pay their rent? And what did Stephanie say?
Well, she was half asleep, and I had to keep waking her up to be like, are you watching? Do you want me to pause this? Do you want to watch this together tomorrow, or should I finish? And she'd say, no, I'm watching it. And then she'd sit up, and then you know how that whole thing goes.
Yeah.
I was wondering because of the guy that had talked to the oceanographers and had gone and collected debris on the beach. I was like, how are you flying around the world?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're skipping.
Well, I skipped around because.
Spilling some beans. But yes, that's what I was wondering, too. How does that guy pay his rent?
Because it's not just like you're taking the day off and you're walking along the beach looking for debris. You're flying around the world.
So this guy, Jeff, what kind of annoyed me? And I hardly ever say that Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. Hey,
Jeff. Hey, comes up with the whole script of what he thinks the pilot said, and he thought that the pilot said to the co-pilot, "Hey, go in the back and get me something." And then the co-pilot went in the back, and then he locked him out, and then he.
And again, this is a made-up reenactment.
A made-up from Jeff.
But they're presenting it in the film as though. Because you hear him say that he's speculating, but then you're watching, and for a second you're like, okay. And then it's like, wait, this didn't even happen. Like, we don't even know what happened.
But didn't he go on news stations, and he would, and people were like, what do you think happened? He's like, here's what happened. The pilot said, go in the back, and the co-pilot went in the back, and then the pilot also, what didn't make sense about that to me is that the pilot like pressed a button that dropped down the oxygen masks, and then people started breathing in the oxygen mask, and the pilot was going to like take down the plane. But why would he? None of it made sense to me. And it was very unfair to say that about the pilot, that Jeff didn't know that pilot or his intentions or anything about.
Right.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I guess I'm thinking if you're going to commit this sort of horrendous act and everybody is getting rowdy in the plane, who cares?
I know. Why are you dropping
put
down?
Put some headphones on.
It's like, why are you dropping down the? That doesn't make sense. The oxygen mask. So what? Anyway.
Why didn't they bring us onto the?
To the sleuths, the online sleuths. And that's the other thing that I was thinking about. I was watching. I was like, is there something that I would feel like, oh my gosh, I've got to solve this mystery and get online and get check into the details. I don't know. I would think that there would be better qualified people, but maybe. But that being said, I mean, I think sometimes people do figure stuff out, don't they?
Well, yeah. It's like Patton Oswalt's wife, Michelle, who passed away. She essentially pieced that whole murder. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
Murder.
But yeah, Stephanie, she gets very into kind of, wait, what happened kind of situation. Yeah.
She wants to get through the details and try to figure out if somebody overlooked a little piece of evidence. I don't think I'm good at that. Okay, so there are these online.
We have to take another break.
We
have to.
Okay.
Thomas is our producer, and he signals to me.
We got him.
Seems to always be when your head's down, but all the better.
Always when I'm about to read something very, important.
Yeah. Well, we'll be right back on Tig and Cheryl True Story to hear all the important details out of Cheryl Hines' sleuth mouth.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back on Tig and Cheryl True Story. This is a comedy podcast. I just want to remind people.
No.
And if you're new to the show, we are old pals.
Oh.
We are silly folk.
Yes.
Separately and together.
Yes.
And sometimes we cover documentaries that are devastating.
And this is one of them.
Yes.
At some point, while they're investigating this, they realize that the plane had turned around over the ocean and started heading back from where it came, Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
So people were saying it had to have crashed in the Indian Ocean because it would have to run out of fuel. And there's no other explanation for it. And then here comes Jeff. Listen, I don't want to blame everything on Jeff, but I don't get it. Jeff now decides that, okay, maybe the plane was hijacked by Russians. And then he looks up, there were three Russians on the plane and they were all sitting close to each other. It's like, that is not, how do you get from that to, I mean, I was furious at Jeff.
Well, first of all, you know Jeff's listening because...
Hey, Jeff, hey.
We already said, hey, Jeff, hey.
Okay, well, now I'm saying it angrily.
Cheryl's typically a very nice person. I've never seen this side of her. And I've known her for years.
So,
but Jeff, Jeff, what are you talking about?
So then now this guy, what was his name? Blaine Gibson, the adventurer. Also, is that a title he gave himself? Like, I'm an adventurer?
Kind of looks shipwrecked.
He likes to, or they say that people look at him like a modern day, what's his name? Who did Harrison Ford play? You know this.
Oh, Han Solo?
I like that he considers himself a modern day Han Solo. No, cracking the whip.
Yeah, the big boulder coming.
What is it, Thomas? Please tell us.
Well, we don't. It doesn't matter. We know who you're talking about.
It does matter.
That guy that's running from the boulder.
It's a Indiana Jones.
Modern day guy running from the boulder.
So okay. This guy, Blaine Gibson, who seems nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody seems mean.
Yeah, I mean, even
except whoever did this to the plane.
Oh God. And so Blaine decides he's going to go find some
debris.
And if anybody can do it, it's Blaine Gibson. He hops on a plane. Also was wondering, where does he get the money to get on a plane to Mozambique?
That's where I was really, because the woman that's sitting at home just clicking around on her computer, like, fine, you can do that through the night.
But he's on planes. Madagascar. Yeah. He goes to Mozambique and he finds debris.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, wow, that's amazing. And then he goes to Madagascar and he finds more debris. And he's finding debris that could match this MH370.
I've never found plane debris.
But you've never looked for it. Have you ever looked for it?
No, but yeah, I think it's sea glass. I've been on a lot of beaches.
It's like sea glass. Have you ever found sea glass?
I think so.
Well, either you did or you didn't. But when you go looking for it, you can really find it. But if you're not looking for it, you walk right by it.
Okay, well, I don't need to be treated like this.
But also, because of the time, you know, you're watching a documentary. It was hard to understand what the time lapse was between him going searching for debris and finding it. Because it seems like he hopped on a plane and went right to it.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, I think they also said it in this. Well, I don't want to tell you the span of time because we haven't gotten there yet. But anyway.
Well, we have to wrap up very soon.
Oh, my gosh.
Soon.
Okay, so at some point, a year has gone by.
Yeah.
And still no nothing. Then 2 years goes by. Blaine found a piece of debris.
Mm-hmm.
And they did verify that one of the pieces of debris was from that airplane.
And so do you feel, because some people were like, oh, that seemed placed.
Well, that seems crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't know. That came from a...
Florence. There was another woman, Florence, who also had her theories.
Florence and the Machine.
What if Florence and the Machine got involved? So this woman, Florence, is now, she's coming up with her own theories and writes a book. And people, and so, yeah, her theory was that somebody redirected this flight.
Mm-hmm.
They took the plane apart. Then they planted this debris. And it just seems outrageous.
Highly unlikely. And is this people really having these theories, or are people just cobbling something together because they're trying to get some attention
on themselves? Well, yeah. Didn't it seem like... And by the way, Jeff, once again, I know I'm coming down hard on Jeff.
You love that guy.
After his first theory of, you know, the pilot wanting to take down the plane, which is just awful to me. It's just... That just hurts my heart that nobody knows that. And that he's like put that pilot's family through this? I don't know.
Also, if you feel so confident that the pilot did it, how is everyone confident that the co-pilot didn't do something? Like, I feel like nobody ever mentions that he would have done it. Why is it all on the pilot?
This is another question I have for you. Because they said that the co-pilot was wet behind the ears.
But so what? You're a co-pilot.
But what does that meaning say? What mean? It's like you're just born and they didn't wipe the jelly out. Off the back of your ears?
Or the female...
Birth?
You know, stuff.
Fluid?
Yeah, female fluid. Which I guess is what that means, is the co-pilot still had female fluid behind his ears. And I'm not blaming the co-pilot. I just found it interesting that people think... Because if you're a co-pilot, you obviously know how to fly the plane.
Yes, of course.
And so why couldn't he have clubbed the pilot in the head and done something? You know?
Well, I feel like because Jeff got everybody on this idea that somehow the pilot told the co-pilot to go get him something and locked him out.
Right, but where's the fourth episode where the co-pilot is guilty?
I don't know. You know? I never got to that.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But what was weird is that after Jeff said, oh, okay, that theory's not right, then let me tell you about my Russian theory. And people still let him back on shows to talk about his other. It was just weird. It made me mad.
What if you turned on the news one night and I was just presenting conspiracy theories?
Here's
on
what
news
happened.
Channels.
She said, don't go in there. And then he went in there. And then she. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you say it with enough authority.
And then at 12:30, I believe the mailman, which typically he's delivering mail at that time, but that day he knocked on the door because there was a package too big. And just making
just make it
up.
And people will, I guess. I mean, the problem is, and what's sad about it, is the desperation of people. Because everybody desperately wanted answers. You just wanted answers. Yeah. And you just wanted something that would make sense. Mm-hmm. And nobody was giving them anything. At one point, Malaysia Air.
I can't believe they're still
flying.
I would struggle to get on a Malaysia Air flight.
At one point, they did say, they said, look, here's what happened. Mm-hmm. The plane was, for whatever reason, turned around and it went down in the Indian Ocean. But some people to this day don't believe it. The only evidence they have is the one piece of debris found by Blaine Gibson.
Han Solo.
So it's just...
Did you have a theory?
I didn't. Did you have a theory?
You know, the terrifying thing of when they were saying how you can crawl into that thing and get a hold of the computers and whatever.
Yibbly.
So let's say... 1,000,000%, because I don't care what time this plane is flying, even if that latch remains unlocked, Ghibli, I do not think that even in the middle of the night flight that somebody's going to get in there.
Right.
And that nobody's going to see that happen.
Or say something, or alarm's not going to go off, or it just can't. Well, that's why the aviation experts said that can't happen. You can't go down this hatch and fly the plane from that.
Okay, so, and that computer thing where they shut it off and you can't track the plane, let's say the Russians didn't do that because they didn't do that. I don't have a theory, but this is what Stephanie and I have been talking about, is then how did it lose that signal?
Yeah.
Did that just break?
Yeah, I mean, it had to be something like that, I would think. So the theories that somehow somebody else turned off the data tracking is, you know, the company that was in charge of the data in Merced. They are saying nobody can do that. It's not built that way. And why would we ever turn that off or allow it to go off? It's not how it works. Mm-hmm. But I will say the one thing about the idea of the pilot, and this is why some people thought, and probably still do, that the pilot that was flying the plane, he had a flight simulator in his home, and they had seen that the path that the plane took, even though, you know, the turning around and going back the other way, that he had done that on his simulator.
And wait, he had done it where
that pattern.
Turned.
But it wasn't exactly the same, but it was
similar
enough that people were like, well, that proves it.
Also, why do you stay airborne for that long if your plan is to...
I know.
Do a murder suicide
I
like
don't
that.
Know.
Why wouldn't you just do it? Why would you just fly around for hours?
I don't know. And there are people in this documentary who knew that pilot very well, and they said he would never do something like that. There was no note, no suicide note, no, you know, anything that would indicate, oh, here's another thing. This was another thing. Okay, and then we're gonna wrap up.
No.
The other thing was that I feel like they just threw in at the last minute that there was cargo that they put on the plane that didn't go through a security check.
Did that happen?
I don't know.
Or was
did
that
actually happen, Thomas, or was that a theory?
I thought that was a theory.
Oh, okay. Because that sounds
highly unlikely.
And that is a, this is what they were talking about too, where the experts were like, for a conspiracy of that size to happen, there would have to be lots of countries involved all agreeing on this. So that just doesn't even, that also doesn't make sense. It's really so hard to wrap your mind around it.
I know. I really, with this and, you know, missing people in all the different ways, missing animals, just all the, like,
no answers.
No answer.
No, yeah.
And I feel for people.
Oh, man.
I can't, I cannot even begin.
No.
I mean, when I even begin to imagine, it's when I hear those people in that room.
Oh, God,
just
Tig.
Wailing.
That was so sad.
And that's where I go.
It was so sad.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
So, I mean, I hate to say it, but that's pretty much how the...
Yeah, it's like the plane went missing and there's no answer.
And the
still.
Families are still struggle with trying to find solid answers.
Forever.
Now you know why we were procrastinating to tell you about this.
Yeah.
Because it's...
Yeah. It's not fun. No, but it's interesting. I mean, it's... But it's just not...
Ugh. So anyway, that's it in a nutshell. Listen, I left out a lot of details that you can go and watch and gather your own
research
and get online and get involved if you want. I don't care. Well, Tig, are you ready for some happily ever how are there any happily ever after thoughts about this? Okay, did you cry?
I didn't cry, but I was devastated.
Yeah, same.
Like I said, those moments in that room, I just, it's haunting to me.
Yeah, I agree. I felt the same way. We're not even going to talk about who we were attracted to because this, but, okay, how about true story talkback?
I feel like you've got something to say.
I cannot. Yeah. You know what, Jeff? Let me just say one thing to you. Why? Why is anybody listening to you? And what gives you the permission to come up with the script of what you think happened and then go on TV and talk about it like you knew what was going on? And then at some point, everybody shot down that idea. And then you came up with a second idea and went back on and talked about it. Like, I just, what kind of credentials do you have? Just let me know. Reach out, Jeff. Let me know. Because maybe, I don't know, maybe you do have credentials that I don't know about. Do you get the feeling that he has credentials you don't know about?
No.
Okay. Anyway, that's what I want to say, because that made me furious.
You go, girl.
Oh, I went.
Yeah, and if by chance any of the family members involved in this hear this episode, we truly and sincerely send our love and support.
Yeah, very deeply sorry. I can't even imagine the pain. Okay. That's all for this week's episode. Next week, we'll be talking about All the Beauty and the Bloodshed on HBO Max. Whew. God, Tig.
Yeah.
Before we go, should we just hear some true fan mail?
Yes.
Yeah, we need it. Tiffany writes, bring David
Hey,
Harbour.
Hey, Tiffany, hey.
Hey, hey, Tiffany.
Cheryl.
I'm rattled.
Poor little Tiffany.
I'm rattled. Hey, Tiffany, hey.
Hey, Tiffany, hey.
Bring David Harbour back. Oh, my word. I'm coughing so much from all that laughing. Wow, please do bring him back. That was so darn tootin' funny. Longtime listener from Ontario, Canada, eh? Okay. Thank you, Tiffany.
All right.
This is from Lindsay. Hey, Lindsay, hey.
Hey, Lindsay, hey.
Tig.
Cheryl, I was doing
it. Really off. Okay.
You're more off.
Hey, TNC, hey. Been busy at work over the past couple of weeks, so I've fallen behind with my weekly true story, Podfix. Won't say exactly what I do, so I don't get unceremoniously sacked. But let's just say I occasionally have to clean up half-baked ideas and plans before they make it into the public domain. In other words...
What?
In other words, I polish turds. Remember my show
She's
called
a turd,
turd
polisher?
Polish?
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts. Oh my God, that hurts. Just listen to the episode on stuts and just had to share an expression we use at work. You can't polish a turd, but you can roll it in glitter. Love that pod. Please never roll it in glitter. Oh my God, this is hurting me. Oh my God. From your faithful English snark bull, Lindsay. Oh my God. You can't polish a turd, but you can roll it in glitter. Wiser words have never been said.
Absolutely.
Ah, that hurt me. Okay. Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you,
Thanks,
everybody,
Lindsay.
Today for making it through with us.
Yes.
Tig, do you want to tell people that we have new merch?
Yeah, I'll let them know. Cheryl's right. We have new merch.
This is exciting.
It's very exciting, and it's really just cute. In time for the holidays.
It really is. You can get a summer t-shirt. Are you a snark bull? You bet your sweet ass I am. Oh, my God. That's so cute. On the back, it says, you bet your sweet ass I am.
We should have put an ass on the back.
Oh, you can go to podswag.com/truestory. That's podswag.com/truestory. Tig, is there anything you want to promote?
Well, of course. I'll be in Biloxi, Mississippi on April 14th. Red Bank, New Jersey on April 20th. I'll also be in Charlotte, North Carolina on Monday, the 17th of April. And I'm just adding shows, so go to tignotaro.com. I'm getting ready for my next special that's going to be taping soon. Yeah, and also always check out Don't Ask Tig, my other podcast.
Okay.
What about you, Cheryl?
It's just they know, Tig. I'm not going to waste their time with it. You can Google it. Okay.
All right.
I guess that's going to do it for today.
Should we do it again?
Yeah. Let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with production assistance from Bobby Pearson. Music by David Sesson. Special thanks to Gabby Kovacic, Patrick McDonald, and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.